When in that first reading, the person who has leprosy or any kind of a skin disease is unclean, and I think the word unclean comes up three times in that reading, but it doesn't mean morally unclean. It just means diseased, dangerous, because they thought of these things as highly contagious. And so it was just isolation, you know, separating from the rest of the community for the rest of the community's sake. But the problem with that was it was a real severe isolation. For the Jewish community in Israel, community was everything. And when you were separated from the community, you weren't whole. And so it was a severe punishment, even though they didn't necessarily mean it as a punishment, they meant it as a safety measure, but the isolation was real nonetheless. And the connection that they had in their minds with sin and illness of all kinds was prevalent as well. And so there's a sense in which unclean did mean morally unclean. There was, people asked Jesus, the fact that this man was born blind, was it his sin or his parents' sin? You know, the presumption is there must have been somebody who sinned, otherwise he wouldn't be blind. So that connection between sin and illness was throughout the Bible. And so Jesus enters into this situation. Jesus, who is the author of everything, he's the word spoken by the Father in creation. He is the union between God and his creation in the person of Jesus, fully God and fully created human at the same time. The union of God and his creatures in the person of Jesus. And so he's confronted by this man who has leprosy, and the man kneels before him and begs, "Do you will to cure me?" And Jesus is moved with pity for the man. And the Greek word there is stronger than just moved with pity. It's like he had a gut reaction. He was just a violent upheaval in his soul out of pity for this man. And so he says, "Of course I will it." I mean, how could God not will our health and our return to the community? And so he cures him. And then he does a couple of interesting things. He says, "Go and tell the priest." Because there was in the Levitical law that the only way that these diseases could be cured is through prayer and through the priests in the temple. And so, in other words, they're going to get all upset if they find out that somebody outside the system cured you. So just go and make the offering, and then everybody, you'll be restored to the community, and you'll be fine. But the man isn't satisfied with that. He goes out and proclaims it so broadly that Jesus can no longer enter a town easily. So Jesus becomes isolated. He's out there in the wilderness, in the desert, because he can't go into a town. So the author of communion, the author of the unity between God and his creation, gets separated from the community. He gets isolated. And Jesus, in a way, is probably okay with that, because he comes to reach out to the lost ones. In a way, Jesus begins out there with the isolated, because that's who he came to save, those outside the law, sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, etc. Those people who, for whatever reason, are disconnected to the community and therefore somehow unclean, unhealed, lost and forsaken, like lost sheep. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes to seek them out. St. Paul, in that second reading, suggests that we should do everything to build up the body of Christ. And this comes after a long discussion he has about eating food offered to idols. And Paul is with the more progressive thinkers about this whole thing. He says, you know, it was offered to idols, but it's still food. Don't throw it away. Eat it. But there were people who were scandalized by that. And so Paul says, you know, it's fine to eat this meat offered to idols, But if it's going to scandalize one of the weaker members of the church, then don't do it. In other words, do whatever is going to build up the community. Don't be so arrogant just because you can understand how this is not really a wrong thing. Do something that maybe is even against your conscience if it builds up the community. Do everything out of love. Well, here we are once again celebrating the sacrament of communion, the sacrament of the union between God and ourselves and between ourselves and one another. And this is a miracle of grace, because on our own human power, we just can't accomplish this communion. We're too different. We're too afraid. We're too angry, resentful, you know, holding grudges, holding different opinions. You know, there's just so much that divides us. The demon of division is just so prevalent in our world. But we come here to this safe place where communion really happens. And our communion with one another isn't because we all agree, it isn't because we all like each other, it's because we're all members of the body of Christ. Our union is in Christ. And then we get sent forth here to build up that body, to build up that communion. And so we have to listen to the words of St. Paul, forsake your own opinion sometimes, forsake your own knowledge for the sake of building up the body. You know, we talk often about sacrifice. This is the memorial of his sacrifice, his giving up his life for us. And we join in that sacrifice ritually here at Mass. But our love that goes on out there is also sacrificial. We often have to give up our preferences. We often have to give up what we know better, because it builds up the body.